This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our Sex Podcast Collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. I absolutely love to do live shows with an audience, and this one is really special. The folks from Life on the Swing Set and I did a giant two-part crossover episode, and we recorded it in front of a live and very lively studio audience at the Pleasure Chest in Chicago in May. I want to tell you about my co-hosts. Ginger Bentham is co-host of the podcasts Life on the Swing Set and Intellectual Foreplay. As a sexcation provocateur, Ginger hosts swing setters from around the world in paradise for education, fun, and relationship enhancement. She's a queer polyamorous kinkster living the dream with her love, Prof. While writing, presenting, and podcasting, Ginger seeks to advance the progress of the next sexual revolution of total sex positivity through mindful, loving connection. Dylan Thomas is a co-host, producer, and editor of Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Through podcasts, social media, conferences, and in communities, he speaks candidly about non-monogamy, kink, and non-normative sexuality, and offers platforms for people to speak on gender identity, equal rights, and intersectionality. He strongly focuses on offering learning opportunities to men with the hope they become stronger allies and better people. Cooper S. Beckett is the author of the novels Osgood, As Gone, A Supernatural Mystery, A Lifeless Monogamous, and Approaching the Swingularity, about journeys in swinging and polyamory, and his memoir, My Life on the Swing Set, Adventures in Swinging and Polyamory. He's the co-founder and host of Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, which they've been doing since 2010. He gives talks on swinging, polyamory, pegging, play parties, coloring outside the boundaries of your sexuality. He is proudly queer and non-monogamous and an unabashed social justice warrior. The four of us took the stage, and here's what we came up with.
I can feel that. It's wonderful.
It's like, woo, it's vibrating. It's vibrating.
So good.
So this is fun because we're all in person and we're not all from Chicago. No. So this is a rarity. We usually all meet up in Cancun. It's a long way to go. Let's go down the line and just briefly introduce ourselves. You can start.
I'm Cooper Beckett. I co-founded Life on the Swing Set 9.5 years ago, podcast about non-monogamy. It started out as a filthy swinger podcast and then just grew up, I think.
It's still filthy, though.
Yeah, no, it's still filthy. Now it's filthy other things as well.
Okay.
I'm also an author. I have my books here, and you can buy them afterwards.
I'm Ginger Bentham. I was the original fangirl of the Swing Set. They said, hey, you want a podcast? I said, I don't know what a podcast is. Sure. Let's do it. And so I was grateful to get to know these two amazing gentlemen and been along for that ride ever since. I also am a sexologist in my day job, if you will. So being here and also my day to day is all sex all the time.
Well, hey, I'm Dylan Thomas, and my day job is an IT project manager, so it is not all sex all the time. Like I said, doing the podcast with these two right here, and been lucky enough to do a couple podcasts with Tristan right here. I've been swinging for 10 years, been polyamorous for 6 years, my wife and I, we've been enjoying this very often, and I like to talk about it, and I like to listen about it. So that's me.
Hi, I'm Tristan Taramino, and I'm actively looking for a wife. So I'm just going to, I'm going to put that out there that, like, I would love a wife. And I want an old school throwback to wife. Like, I want someone to not think of that in, progressive ways at all. I want them, I want them to, like, be an amazing chef and a gardener, clean the house.
Pearls?
No, just apron alone when I get home.
Yes.
Apron alone. So I do the podcast Sex Out Loud. I'm about to celebrate, I actually can't remember because it's how old I am, either my 7th anniversary in June or my 8th. I'll figure that out and make a note of it on social media when I do the math. I'm a writer and a sex educator. I do a lot of speaking and actively looking for a wife. Yep, that's me.
I want a wife in every major city.
Oh, well, that's, yeah.
Because you're traveling for business.
I'm traveling a lot. But no, my wife could travel with me.
No, Tristan, you're doing it right. You're manifesting into this world. It's like the secret.
Yeah.
You're putting it out in the world, and now it will manifest.
And also, I'm open to all genders. That's the one thing, okay? So I want these traditional roles, but I'm open to all genders. I'm actually quite flexible and fluid, so it's not a gender thing. It's a, like, you're competent in all these areas, I am not thing. Not a good wife. Not a good wife. So we're all here.
I'm kind of curious. Do we want to pull the audience real quick and see where they lie on the relationship spectrum?
Great.
Yeah.
All right. You want to pull the audience?
All right. So I don't know how experienced any of you are with non-monogamy. So how many people have heard about non-monogamy?
I think that's like a gimme question.
Well, I mean, I don't know, right?
We don't know. We don't want to make assumptions.
How many people practice some form of non-monogamy?
So we're looking at maybe a little over half?
A little over half.
A little over half. Okay, sure.
How many people identify as swingers? Okay, and how many people identify as polyamorous?
Was a couple, and then a few more. All right.
And anybody in the Venn diagram where that kind of comes together? Excellent.
Okay.
I could have held my hand up the whole time there.
You didn't see, but there are more. There are more people who identify as both than just one. Yeah. Okay. And what about how many people are kinky? Wow. That's
high.
That's a high.
That's even a higher number. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good. Good. Well, let me
You've
talk
come
about
to the right place.
Yes. Let me talk about Kinkfest then.
Oh, yeah.
I just went to Kinkfest in Portland, Oregon a little bit ago, and I actually hadn't been in 10 years. It's one of the longest running events. And I was pleasantly surprised that it was much more gender diverse and much queerer. There are way more presenters of color. Which you have to import in Oregon. I don't know if you know, but it's like the whitest state ever. So you have to bring them in. But they came. And I was struck by kind of the evolution of the event, the evolution of the community, and it's not what I remembered it to be. Especially when I was in the play space, they have a 10,000 square foot dungeon. Which is just bananas.
Yes, please.
Someone said that Thunder in the Mountains has a bigger one, but I'm telling you, this is the biggest dungeon I've personally been in, and I've been in a lot of dungeons. I know that shocks you. And so one of the things I loved is that, have you ever been to like a dungeon and you walk through and it's like, man flogging woman, man spanking woman, man flogging woman, man spanking woman, right? And then like man tying up woman, right? So certainly there's like these gender dynamics, but also it's kind of like the same three or four things going on. And I was struck because there was the most diversity of play at any event I've ever been to. First of all, there's an entire suspension rig where you could watch 20 suspensions simultaneously. Now, they weren't, like, timed to each other, so that wasn't, like, a thing where they all dropped at the same time.
It wasn't like Cirque du Soleil.
No, it was not like that.
Did they tie them together
No,
afterwards?
They weren't tied together. So they were, like, at various states of tying.
Cirque du Soleil. Yep.
And then I also really loved that they I like to think of it as exile, but they put all the single-tail people in their own area, and it was fenced off.
It's actually very wise.
So if you're someone like me, here's the thing is that I find, I'm just going to make a generalization, I find people who love single tails to be really, really stuck up. I do. And I find them to also be super clueless about space when you're at a dungeon.
Yes.
They throw the whip back and you're like, holy crap, that just hit me. So I like that they were, like, sequestered. And they were fenced in. So even if they threw it so hard, it would just hit the fence. And then there was an entire section for littles, right, for people who do age play. There was an entire section for pets. There were ponies, like carrying carts and people. I mean, that's how much room there was, right?
Wow.
There was, like, a big person. There were two people in a cage that they raised up, and they did a little scene. I mean, there were, like, gangbangs. There were people dressed as unicorns. There were all sorts of scenes. And then there was the most epic piercing scene. So sometimes you can't do piercing at all in these kind of spaces because it will draw blood. It's not bloody. It just draws blood. These people did a piercing scene. It was two piercers, one being pierced, with over 100 needles. And attached to the needles were peacock feathers.
Yes.
Not like feathers from, you know, the craft store. Because I've seen that scene. No, I have. But peacock feathers, it was like performance art. I mean, it was art at the end. When they stood up and just moved their arm just a little bit, it was unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable. And that's, like, for me, that's the kink community I want to be in. It's the one where, like, everyone's doing their own thing and also no one is, like, giving the side eye to anyone else.
Yeah.
You know, it just struck me, like, we can all play in this space together and not sort of preference one kind of kink or SM over another kind.
Yeah.
Kind of makes you think about the gatekeepers that are inherent in a lot of our communities. We often will feel like we're not something enough. You know, we're not swinger enough. We're not poly enough. We're not queer enough to use these words. And I think a lot of it is because we've come up against gatekeepers in so many different parts of our lives. And sometimes in our communities, in non-monogamy and sexuality, we come up against those gatekeepers who are like, no, you can't come in here, you dirty swinger. This is a poly place.
Right, right, right.
And this is about love.
Yeah, we're about love. And it's like, oh, so you're not going to be fucking tonight. Okay, sure, sure.
You know, this makes me think that it's a place where I am kinky, and I do many, I do a lot of impact play, I do a lot of flogging, I do a lot of cool things that I love. But there are some kink spaces, dungeons, house parties where I felt insufficiently domly enough to actually be doing any of that because I'm always doing something wrong relative to one of them. And so, listen, I may not be an alpha male or something, but you know what? I can get my machismo up and I can get all big and I'm an intimidating guy when I need to be, right? But I don't want that energy coming from me. So it's like, what do I do? Do I tell this dude to get the F away from me or do I mark off my own space and tell everybody to stay away? I'm doing a scene, which is reasonable.
Peeing is good, unless it's like
all right.
A pee circle. That's, pee circle.
You know,
I was going to say duct tape,
yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, you.
I just went right.
Tristan, you just cut
kiss.
right to the heart of it.
But no, I really appreciate the spaces that make room for people so they can kind of explore, even if they're not the top dog in the room.
That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it too, I think Cooper comes from. Like our own insecurities.
Oh, yeah.
Like we also imagine everyone that we're walking in the room and everyone has their shit together. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows exactly what they're doing. They're not trying anything for the first time, right? And they've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah,
all
and, yeah.
Now,
and
some,
every time it works and they never argue afterwards about what they did.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they never miss. They're always hitting the exact spot where they want to.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, and so I think we also have these dialogues in our head that we have to kind of shut off.
Right.
Which is like, there are new people here and there are veterans, there are jaded people here and there are people with like eyes wide open and everyone has a different desire or interest or skill set. We don't have to feel so bad.
We've already come to our first commercial. We will be right back. It's July, which means it is the one and only sale of the year at the Pleasure Chest, in store and online. It's BOGO. Buy one, get one half off anything that vibrates of equal or lesser value. Have your eye on a luxury vibe. These things do not go on sale, people. Maybe you want to try a vibrating butt plug. Maybe your magic wand is about to kind of kick it. Not to worry, BOGO is the perfect time to restock or upgrade your toolbox. You need to invest in pleasure for yourself, for a lover, for a friend, for a partner, or really just to treat yourself. This sale goes on for the entire month of July. It excludes Crave and Pleasure Chest kits. It's not available to combine with any other offers or promotions. Visit pleasurechest.com and get your vibe on.
Hey, Dylan, guess what?
What's that, Ginger?
I'd love for you to come with me on this amazingly sex-positive, queer, and polyam-friendly, kink-aware, all-inclusive resort vacation in paradise.
Oh, really? This trip sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Ginger A. Bentham stamp of approval?
It has the sexiest name. It's called The Swing Set Takes Desire. It takes place in Cancun, Mexico, at Desire Riviera Maya, November 2nd through 9th, 2019. This trip to paradise is co-hosted by Javie and Shara from Ending the Sexual Dark Age, Bradford and Angela from the By the By podcast, and special guest Tristan Taramino, author, podcaster, and creator of excellent ethically produced porn. And you can find more information at swingsetdesire.com.
Oh, Ginger.
What?
Get with the times. Everybody knows about swingsetdesire.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set is hosting its 8th annual trip to paradise. Drop your information in the form at swingsetdesire.com and boom, hot tub happy hour.
No way. I can go there and come there too. There's this super hot harness I've been dying to use.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to swingsetdesire.com and book your trip to join us for the Swing Set Takes Desire, November 2nd through the 9th, 2019.
All right, Dylan, I'm on it. Swingsetdesire.com.
You'll be glad you came.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to the mega crossover episode of Sex Out Loud and Life on the Swing Set, recorded live at the Pleasure Chest in Chicago. Now let's continue the conversation.
Well, what I would offer as well around that is, where do you learn if you can't learn there?
Yes. Yeah.
Where can you be a person who's exploring? Where can you be a person who knows you have this something? And when I say something, I mean all the things. Like, there's a something that you're like, I don't know what to do with this. Where do you find that, where you can be in that space to say, you know, I don't know how I'm subby, but I'm subby. Right. Are you a service in a service subby place? Right. Are you a possession? Are you a switch?
Pointing
to
self.
Are you super, you know, dommy in certain situations? Where can you have those conversations? You have them in your brain, but you have to find your people, and you have to find people willing, as you said, Tristan, those veterans that are generous enough to say, I've been there. I've been there. It might be confusing. You might have a lot of questions, and you have every right to be in your vulnerable place to say, I'm a learner. I'm learning myself here. Yeah. And I find that ability to transition, not just erotic kink, all of that play into a true opening up of self and knowing yourself in that experience. And it takes having people who've been there before who are able to be generous. It takes stepping up in your own unawareness of self to say, I feel good enough, safe enough, awesome enough to step into this space and mm-hmm. be in that place of I really have no idea what I'm doing here, but damn, it feels good.
Yeah.
And I want to learn to do it better.
This isn't just with kink, right? Like the number of swinger profiles that I've seen online that say DD&D, drama, drug, disease-free, that is also followed by, right, that tongue sticking out is exactly what I think, right? But then that's also followed by...
The audience has expressed irritation.
And usually there's a line or two after that says, like, we don't want to be your first couple. Right. We want an established couple, actually, are the keywords that we use. Or in like OkCupid profiles, I see a lot of, you need to understand ethical non-monogamy. I'll tell you what, I get it. I was new to polyamory once. I knew what ethical meant. I knew what non-monogamy meant, but I didn't know necessarily what the two meant. I just knew I liked other people and I kind of wanted to get in relationships with them and I wanted to be kind of an okay dude while doing it. There are these barriers that are up. I've had this life experience. Anybody who doesn't have this life experience, no thank you. When we really need to be holding a hand out and saying, come see what this is about. Maybe it's for you.
Can we take a break that you're going to edit out later?
Oh, yeah.
Great point, Dylan.
Thank you, Tristan.
I appreciate how natural that sounded.
Thank you. Thank you. I even like changed into my radio voice. Yeah. It's good. I wonder what the audience thinks. Do you think they're ready for us? We're ready for them?
I don't know. Are your bodies ready?
Are you ready to comment? Join the conversation? Ask a question?
Let's say when you are, somebody has to break the seal and get up and stand up.
Stand up right here next to me.
Remember, there are prizes for doing unspecified things.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one. It is not surprising at all to me that this is our first.
You know this person.
Listen,
you know
from
this
the
person.
Bottom of my heart, thank you. That would have been so awkward.
Okay.
Can you talk a little bit more about if you are in the less experienced camp and you do want to start playing, what are some things that would help you? Can you give us some tips or keywords to say that might get you further? Yeah. Or where do you start if you want to start playing but you don't have access to the community or you don't know enough people to be in the cool club or...
Well, first of all, I'll dispel the myth right away. None of us are cool.
Yeah, no.
Speak for yourself. Jesus Christ.
He thinks he's cool. He's not cool.
But that was shade.
We need a buffer. You know, you see profiles like Dylan was describing that are gatekeeping profiles on the swinger dating sites, on poly dating sites. And it can feel overwhelming, but what you need to do in that case is look for the people who are definitively not saying that. I'm very much a fan of meeting people who are at the beginning of their journey for multiple reasons. I like hearing about the whys, and people are very excited at the beginning of their non-monogamous journey to talk about the whys. I will be nice to them. And I know that not everyone will. So I think the people who have the patience for lots of questions need to make it clear that they're interested in helping guide. And it can sound weird and it can sound fetishy at some point. There is also the people who genuinely want to impart the fact that we discovered something really cool that not everybody knows about. And we would love to tell you all about it. It's like the best kind of evangelism.
What about accessing kink community specifically?
Yeah.
I don't know that much about the Chicago kink scene. I know there is GD2, which is Galleria Domain 2. And I believe they have sort of like intro level things there because they do education classes and play parties. You have to be a member, but that's like a thing that they're not going
to. It's you don't need to be a member for the intro.
Oh, no, you don't? Oh, okay,
no.
Great.
You can go to those classes and then learn about the members.
Okay, good. I know that is one place, and my feeling about every time I've been there is like the people are lovely.
Yes.
They're very lovely. They're not elitist or cliquey. At some point, you have to kind of put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember being really new to the kink scene, and then I would see something that I was interested in. And then I would see someone do it, and I would go up to them afterwards, not right afterwards, just to be clear about boundaries, and say like, hey, do you have any interest in showing me how to do that? And people in kink are really good at mentoring. Yeah. I think there's a tradition of mentoring going back as far as kink. I think people like to mentor and teach their skill or their passion to someone else. Nothing can beat this sort of hands-on training. You know, like when you're learning, if you're learning to flog someone, if you have an experienced person who can flog, but also someone who's used to being flogged, you can get feedback from both sides. Yeah, the person doing the flog, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's also invaluable. I also want to say, you know, doing something to someone and having their feedback about how it went as a really experienced bottom is really good.
I would offer just to that point, Tristan, that it's really being in your own intuition about, is this person in a transaction with me or do they want to connect with me? And that to that point of mentoring, like you might find someone who thinks it's really awesome that they're really great at flogging someone, but are they interested in that mentor role? And really listening to yourself around that and being like, is this person really here in this moment with me to connect with me? Do they want to share that information? And if you find that that's not the case, because, you know, all kink clubs, all parties can be super awesome. You're going to find a gamut. You're going to find a spectrum of different people there. So really who you're drawn to, who you notice that is caretaking the people they're with, that just really being observant. I think that's a key component as well, because I think there's an element of some people like to teach because they like to be the teacher. Mm-hmm. And some people like to teach because they're excited about imparting the wisdom. Yeah. And so just really listening to yourself around that too is a really important piece of the puzzle, because those parties, those circumstances will have this spectrum of people, and really tuning into where you are with that is a really important piece of the puzzle.
And Theoretically, if you don't live in an area like this where there are, you have some choice on dungeons and lots of communities to go to. Honestly, FetLife, if you look for local munches there, munches are a great place to go. Identifying as somebody
and
new.
Dylan, what yeah, people is, are excited what about is that. A munch?
What's a munch, Dylan?
Where's your munch? Well, you know, I at its base, right, it's a bunch of people getting together and talking, right? It doesn't have to be any more than that. It
there's no munching? That,
it's a meetup lunch, I mean, Dylan. It's a meetup lunch.
No, it's sometimes breakfast. It could be dinner.
Okay. Thank you.
It's a meal. It's a meal. Like a social event before. Yes. So it's like your first experience doesn't have to be going into a dungeon, which could be really fucking overwhelming. But it's like going to a diner where, by the way, everyone is dressed not in like full leather and corsets and latex.
Don't put on your finery.
You do not need there's no dress code. And by the way, I think dress codes are bullshit. I just want to put that out there. The kinkiest, most demented, most dominant, most just wow, I can't believe she does the thing she does, dominant, that I've ever met, is a woman in New York. And I went to a really intense kind of advanced workshop. There was this dominant woman's group, and then we had like topics. And so I walked into the room and I was like, oh, this is going to be this like blood play, right? This is going to be like someone like really cool. And I was looking around the room and I was like, I have no idea who the professor is though. And then this woman with like mousy brown hair wearing jeans and flip flops proceeded to like put in two central lines and like tap these person's veins and like squirt blood. It was all draped with, you know, like
dexterized.
Yeah, it was totally fine. But like, you know what I mean? And she's the kinkiest person to this day, you know, and she was like in flip flops. I will give one tip about what shows inexperience. And that is, as a dominant, when I'm talking to you and say, like, what are you into? What are you not into? If anyone ever says to me, you can do anything to me.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, it's really amusing. Because my response always is, you don't know what I can do.
I don't want to say that around you. I've seen what you do.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right. And like the whole, like, I don't know, I'm into everything isn't helpful. It's really helpful to pick a few things that you know you're into and be like, this is what it is. Okay, so you're the first question, which means you get a fucking prize.
Yay! Yay!
And I'm going to go right to the expensive shit, I'm going to go right to the expensive shit.
You got a water bottle.
You have to have this water bottle.
Okay.
I knew it was going to be a bag of dicks.
It's going to be a bag of dicks.
Hey, it's time for another break. We will be back in 2 minutes, so stay right where you are. Low libido, a waning sex drive, trouble with arousal, trouble with orgasm. I don't know how many times we've talked about these issues on the show, and it's because they're really common, especially for women. How to deal with these issues? It's complicated, which is why when they tried to create a Viagra for women, it didn't work. And as I've gotten older, my own desire and arousal process has changed dramatically. I've tried my fair share of these so-called arousal gels, and I never know what the big deal is. Omax sent me their O-Shot CBD arousal oil to try out. It contains 8 natural botanicals and full-spectrum CBD. I put a few pumps of it onto the external part of the clitoris and labia, and immediately I felt a kind of tingling sensation, which lasted for about an hour. But beyond tingling, it can increase stimulation, circulation, arousal, and lubrication. We know that CBD increases relaxation, blood flow, and euphoric sensations, and that in turn can increase your arousal and orgasmic response. Omax Health is offering my listeners 20% off O-Shot plus free shipping. This discount applies to any product site-wide. Just go to omaxhealth.com today. Enter code TRISTAN20 to take advantage. This is omaxhealth.com. Enter code TRISTAN20 to get 20% off.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to the Sex Out Loud and Life on the Swing Set crossover episode recorded live at the Pleasure Chest in Chicago. The four of us are never at a loss for words, so let's listen.
Okay, so you have the first choice. This is from Blush Novelties. It's from the Avanti Pride line. This is an amazing butt plug. There's also a great dildo or a secret, our little secret, yours and mine, a finger massager, like a vibrator that you put on your hand. Okay.
Saying yes is not an option. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right, no.
Yes, and.
This is our little secret Pyxis finger massager by Jopin.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Yay. And now the secrets are known, what you can win.
Tristan,
but we've also got other
stuff. I'd like to add on a little bit to what you were saying.
Yeah.
One of the hardest things that I've had to deal with in my life is figuring out what I'm into and what I want and then being willing to ask for it. And I think the most important thing you can do before you start a journey is figure out one thing you want.
Right. You don't have to go through the whole yes, no, maybe list and pick all the things.
There are tons of things.
Yeah.
But if you can figure out one thing you want, if you've been monogamously married for 20 years and you want a threesome, that's one thing. And that's one thing that you can then go out and look for specifically. There's the social contract is you can probably get what you want if you are willing to ask for it. If you're not willing to ask for it, do you really deserve it? I don't know.
That's a bold statement.
That was very bold. Oh. That was a little judgy. I don't know.
To be clear, that was a lot judgy.
Also, and I think in general, humankind needs to be really skilled at accepting no as an answer.
Oh, yeah.
And not freaking the fuck out. People still say no to me. Did you know that?
I don't believe it, but I, no. Sure.
When I was in Brazil last year, the whole conference was in Spanish, Portuguese, and English. And so there were like translators everywhere. They're in your ear. They're over there. And it was also interpreted for the deaf and the hard of hearing. Interpreters are amazing, especially because we're saying non-traditional things like enema, fisting, non-monogamy. And so I'm always like, are they going to spell it out or are they going to do? I just kept noticing like day by day that I felt like the interpreters were actually supermodels and they were just moonlighting as interpreters. Like they were so hot.
I feel like that's just Brazil.
Okay. Yeah, but they were just so hot. And so at the end of my last talk, I asked out the interpreter that I thought was the hottest, right? And he was like, I only sleep with men. And I was like, but, you know, do you want to like just try it? And he was like, no. Wow. And I was on stage and there was like hundreds of people in the audience.
You asked
him. Good on him.
I asked him on stage.
Did he translate the
question? He translated the question. And he translated his answer, which was a firm no.
I gotta
feel like it's modeling good behavior.
Well, you know what?
It's modeling.
That
I don't know that I could ask someone out in front of any other people, really. So well done. You have modeled asking for what you want and graciously taking
receiving
a no.
Yes.
And to that point, being able to know as well if something just doesn't hit the mark for you.
Yeah.
Like, you just because you tried it doesn't mean you have to keep doing it. And that's a key component to exploration, is being able to be brave, to be expansive and say, I really want my feet caned. Now I know I don't. Ever again, ever. And so being in that space of being able to accept that you had an experience, and whether it's an interpersonal experience, whether it's a no, whether it's a, oh, I'm going to ask that person out, or I'm going to ask for this thing in bed that I want, or I'm going to, whatever it is. And then you are into it in that moment or later, in that moment with the person, the people, or later, to say, this isn't something I ever have to do again. And that is perfectly okay.
And try not to feel the shame that can sometimes accompany that.
Of course.
Because it is not necessarily something you did wrong. You know, I've gone to try a whole lot of different things that I wound up not liking. And it's hard to get over our natural innate nature to be like, well, I probably fucked it up, so I should just not do anything again, I guess.
I tried having sex with men. It didn't work out for me. So it's like, well, fine, whatever. Yeah, so.
But Dylan, you tried. That's what matters.
That is what matters.
You sparked a thought earlier, talked about threesomes, and I'm a very big fan of threesomes. So I'm going to ask for some hands here. How many people here have successfully been in a threesome?
Whoa, okay. this is good.
I'm really impressed. This is 90% of the audience.
No, yeah,
this
our is the
graduate
80.
School of 80. Threesomes.
So I was, while Cooper was talking, I was not listening because I was thinking, right?
And don't worry, I do the same thing.
Yeah, good. I was just thinking, you know, I've done a lot of swinging, and I guess I've done a lot of polyamory. That's not the right way to say it. But
you've done that polyamory. You've done it good.
I think I've had more threesomes through polyamory, whether it be my partners or poly play parties or something like that, than I have in swinging. And it's not for like lack of sexy people. It's just because people tend to at clubs, off dating sites, you go out with a couple. It tends to be orgy focused or couple on couple. But I've only had a couple threesomes with other swingers because there's who's the person out, you know, and what is the person out going to feel if, or maybe the other person out is occupied somewhere else. Right. But like, if you're just going out with a couple, how do you negotiate a threesome? Cause somebody's going to end up sitting out for some reason.
Wait, explain this sitting out.
Well, okay. First of all,
sitting out.
Let's consider watching, doing some kind of service, or you know,
masturbating.
Thank you.
Well, what if everyone's just on everyone?
Well, then that's a nice little foursome right there. It's cute.
No. I mean, three people on everyone.
No, Dylan's talking specifically about the difficulty of swingers who are looking for unicorns, but usually can only find other couples.
Define a unicorn. Right.
Well, unicorn is a single woman in the lifestyle.
Go ahead. Swinging okay, I misunderstood.
Lifestyle. Oh, no. Okay.
What are you talking about? Everyone's in. Yeah.
Right.
The fourth person.
Right.
Okay.
But the reason I was mentioning that is like,
I've got some pushback
the single,
over here.
Okay. Wait.
I think you can speak for yourself.
Speak your truth.
Hey, it's Chris Penn, and I identify.
If you can't say it, you can't do it.
We never ask for names,
unicorn.
Not even first names.
Not a Pegasus, not a boar, not whatever other.
Free range bull.
Why do we have to gender unicorns? That's all I'm saying.
So no Manitar, what you're saying.
Okay. Oh,
I've heard a Pegasus is a guy who wants to get pegged.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so we want to take the gender out of unicorn.
Right.
But unicorns are supposed to be bi.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so unicorn has to be bi, because you just said single. You didn't say bi.
Okay, yeah.
So unicorns are bi people by themselves. But, yeah. Okay.
So I guess the one thing I was kind of driving to is a lot of poly people aren't necessarily locked into you know, let's do this as a couple because they're used to having other partners and going in different configurations. Mm-hmm. Whereas at least with swingers that don't know each other that are getting together in a common space, they're going as a couple and they're going home as a couple and they're looking for experiences kind of couple to couple. And if, you know, a pile of people happen to accrue in the middle of a room, then great. Like, I mean, listen, I am a big fan of a pile of people. But like, just a threesome, that has never happened to me at a club. It's always been with a couple that I've been established with for a while. And if, you know, the wife or the husband has to do something else, including my own, we just, you know, hey, you want to get together? Let's do that. So
I have had a threesome at a club. And I'm picturing it now because it was in an industrial park in suburban Massachusetts.
Ooh.
Nice. Wow. I like your stories, Tristan.
I mean, it's like it was like 20 years ago, and I feel like it was just yesterday. I was taken there by Kim Ayers, who is the founder of Grand Opening, if anyone remembers back in the day, the sex-positive shop in Boston, Massachusetts, no longer there. She and her boyfriend took me there. But so I was there alone, I guess. So that's why I was.
So you were the unicorn.
I was the unicorn. God, that seems like so lifetimes ago.
Wow.
I don't know why that just, I just thought of that.
Because it's awesome.
Is our Pegasus going to ask a real question?
Oh, yes.
I actually do have a real question ready. How do you, if you are new to a swinger or kink club, how do you navigate that space going in that first night with your partner?
People don't know you, so it's like the first day of school. You can be literally whomever you want to be when you walk into those places. They don't know that you're shy, so if you don't appear to be shy, you're not shy. And I say that as a shy person who never does what I just said. but you can, if you walk in...
I had to mic myself for that groan there.
Wow. Wow.
Can I get a groan from everybody? Thank you.
Carry on.
Well, we don't know why we groan. Yeah.
Because he told you to.
He
does. He clearly. So what I'm saying is, if, you know, the same thing that we're talking about with asking for what you want is about demonstrating confidence that what you want has value. And what you want not only has value to you, but it has value to the person you're going to do it with if you're on the same page. So you're not just walking in and asking for someone to give you something out of them.
A blowjob?
I mean, you might be, but,
right.
But my point is more that they probably won't do it unless they want to enjoy that as well.
Absolutely.
So it's not it's not a give me something.
Right.
It's a let's do something together.
Okay, last break of the night. Our sponsors and advertisers make this show possible. So listen to them and we'll be right back. It's July, which means it is the one and only sale of the year at the Pleasure Chest, in store and online. It's BOGO. Buy one, get one half off anything that vibrates of equal or lesser value. Have your eye on a luxury vibe. These things do not go on sale, people. Maybe you want to try a vibrating butt plug. Maybe your magic wand is about to kind of kick it. Not to worry. BOGO is the perfect time to restock or upgrade your toolbox. You need to invest in pleasure for yourself, for a lover, for a friend, for a partner, or really just to treat yourself. This sale goes on for the entire month of July. It excludes Crave and Pleasure Chest kits. It's not available to combine with any other offers or promotions. Visit pleasurechest.com and get your vibe on. Hi, everyone. It's Tristan. Are you passionate about sex education and want to build your career in the field, but you're not sure how to do it? Or maybe you've begun your journey as a sex educator and you're ready to get serious, streamline your business, and get paid. My Sex Educator Bootcamp training programs, Level 1 and 2, are now available online, and they are great for sexuality professionals of all kinds. You'll learn how to develop your vision and mission and communicate them effectively. Discover tools for branding, marketing, networking, media coverage, building your audience, and more. the number one question people ask me is, Tristan, how did you get involved in sex education and how can I? Well, today's the day to find out. Go to sexeducatorbootcamp.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to the show. I want to jump right in. Let's take a listen.
I have a specific suggestion for getting into a swinger space for the first time. Wear a name tag and then say you're new. Newbies get a lot of attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Swingers swarm the newbies.
Oh, yeah. I have another thought too. Well, first of all, I'm a person who actually, you think that I'm super radical, but I actually follow rules and I like rules and I read the fucking rules, right? So whether it's a kink party, it's someone's party at their house, it's a swinger party, it's an orgy, people set up rules, they give you the piece of paper to sign at the beginning, or it's on the wall, or you have to go on the app or whatever. Read the rules. Yeah. Okay. So like, I like people who read the rules. And I also think, I mean, my experience when I did this event that was sex positive and sort of crossed over between all these communities, I did it for 10 years. And my experience was that when brand new people came, well, first of all, we allowed single cis men to come to our event, which, you know, in swinger circles is a no-no.
That was a lot of girls from the
because, because we really strongly felt like it's sort of discrimination. Like we're going to let cis single men come. Right. Okay. So
it's not actually sort of discrimination.
It is, by
definition discrimination.
So, so of course I know what would happen if it was overrung by single cis men. That's right. A particular energy and there are problems there. But so these cis single men would come to this event alone. We wouldn't know them. They wouldn't know us. And I would observe them immediately. And the ones who read the rules went to the orientation. Took all the classes, paid attention, observed how people were interacting with each other. Those people got laid left and right. I mean, the guys who I'm just going to say are like, no big thing. No big cock, no great body, no great face, not a great conversationalist. Like, just like not a lot to put on the table. And I'm telling you, they got laid left and right because they paid attention. And it's like they didn't just try to jump in and then be told, no, we don't grab people here. Right?
And along with that, it's humans interacting with humans. Sometimes we forget we're not sex bots. Like, you know, we're in a space with our other human beings. So it's okay to say, I'm excited you're here. This is awesome for you. How was your day? Maybe you don't want to talk about things outside of the club. Maybe you say, you know, have you been to this club before? I really like the music. You're connecting first. I seem like I'm saying that word a lot, but for me,
connecting is important.
That's what it's about. And so in addition to following the rules, which to me just says respect. Mm-hmm. It says respect. It says attentiveness. It says intention to be attentive as a lover later on down the road.
Yeah.
And if this person, you know, isn't doing the look past, like you're kind of hot, but wait a second over there. You know, it's like they're connecting with me. I'm like, oh, this is a person who is an awesome person just in and of themselves. And therefore, the sex down the road will be a connected experience. It can be the hottest, filthiest one night stand. I will never see this person again. But the time we spent together was connected. Yeah. And I feel like that, you know, following the rules. And then the next step is this is a human being in front of you. Enjoy this human being and then see where it goes. See where it blossoms. See where, and it may be a hot makeout sesh or it might be, you know, double penetration. I don't know where it's going tonight, but I know that you're awesome and you're connecting with me.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I can take it for a ride, if you will.
Oh.
Part of the successful new person experience is going in not having an expectation about whether it's going to be double penetration or a makeout. Mm-hmm. So that,
that's good.
No, and not being very upset if you don't.
Can we talk about expectation?
Being attached to the outcome. Yeah. But this happens in life, people. Okay, because I'm a Buddhist. If you're attached to the outcome of any situation, you're setting yourself up for failure. You cannot be attached to the outcome.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We have to give this unicorn a prize.
I gave him one. I called him a manatar.
Okay, right. So, and then the other prize option is a t-shirt, a hashtag open t-shirt. So dildo, butt plug, hashtag open t-shirt.
I'm going to go with the butt plug.
Butt plug! Thank you, Blush Novelties. I went to a toy show. This is a really fast story. I went to a toy show, and you know, like, people send me toys all the time for free and stuff, but I'm completely shameless. So when I went to this trade show that's just business to business, I literally put my business card in every, like drawing. Like, put your business card to get a free. And then I won all of these Blush toys. I actually won one. And it was like, you can get $400 worth of Blush toys. And I was like, I will be doing that. And now I'm giving them away. So...
That's the way to go.
I'm a winner.
I used to do that, but then we won like half of all the take at a conference for like, you know, five conferences in a row.
People started getting very angry with us.
Yeah, our table. Yeah. Oh, we have somebody willing to ask a question.
Hi, I'm Sean. I want to know, what some of the advantages and disadvantages are of not allowing single men to attend these events.
Oh. Here's the thing about single men in swinging. And the
cis single
men in swinging. There's a lot of negative history. And negative history has really made it very difficult for single cis men who are worth spending time with, worth interacting with, worth inviting to your MFM three-way. And unfortunately, it's because there is a lot of, I deserve this entitlement.
Entitlement.
And the problem is anyone who's entitled should probably be asked to leave the party. Anyone who's behaving as though they deserve something should be asked to leave the party. And it's just been, and it's not surprising that cis men ping that a lot more because in general, let's be honest, cis men just do feel more entitled than any other variants.
So like on one hand, I truly believe that people running a community should be able to choose who they want to invite into a community, whether it's a women's only get together, a queer only get together, whatever it is. Like people should be able to invite in who they want to invite. On the other hand, that is, I also want to say to people that run spaces that are theoretically public, like a swinger club, that it's lazy to exclude cis single men or to make them pay four or five times the amount that everybody else pays.
That's another thing. $500 for cis men and then like single women, $5.
Like community management is hard. In no matter what community you're in. And to do that, it requires being intentional about it. It requires a team of people that are willing to do it for you. It requires a feedback loop so you can get reports on people that are problems. It requires an education aspect so that people that are willing but don't know how to get in, like we were talking about earlier, understand what the protocol is, understand what consent is, and then you allow them in. A lot of dungeons do it based on reputation sometime. You know, you can invite a friend in and then you're responsible for them until they've been in long enough to be respected individually. You know, that's one way of handling it. But just saying you have to pay a lot more, it's kind of lazy.
It's classist and elitist also. And it's not accessible. I mean, I'd rather they have to take a quiz.
Right.
That might be also classist
a little bit. Really, what I always tell them...
An easy quiz.
What I always tell the single men is, you know, you do have a much harder uphill climb here. So make yourself the best possible version of yourself because there is a huge desire in the swinger community for the male, female, male threesome. And where do they find those men? But single men.
I think it's that guy that he just does it all.
It is.
Good job, Chris Benz.
It's just you.
Being a bi guy, though. A lot of swingers.
Oh, are.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
We're going to talk about We're going
to
talk about that.
But it behooves you to make it very obvious that you are a good person. Because, you know, I ran a small group called Sex Positive Chicago on Facebook, and 90% of the signups were men who would just immediately write, how do we get laid? And it's like, okay, so men, you need to really, really work hard to do better here, because in general, you're assholes.
Right.
And I recognize that in general, men are assholes and they need to work hard to do better.
Well, the good news is the conversation does continue in part two, which you can hear next week. Until then, you can find and listen to Life on the Swing Set at lifeontheswingset.com and on social media at Swing Set Life. Their yearly sex positive vacation in Cancun is at swingsetdesire.com and at swingsetdesire on social media. Cooper is at Cooper S. Beckett on social media. Dylan is at Dylan the Thomas. And Ginger is at Ginger Bentham, B-E-N-T-H-A-M. I'm Tristan Taramino across all social media platforms. Join us next week, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for part two of this episode. Until then, have a great week.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.